Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're in the season here, red and green going on.
Happy holidays.
It's Festivus today. Recording this. This probably comes out after Christmas, but all good there. And yeah, we're warming things up here with a little flywheel. And then we have On and On. We're finally finishing this series. It's been on and on.
Yeah, the sequel. I got some, I don't know why I have so many of these. But there's On and On labels on the table.
From one. On and On one.
Oh, shit. This is On and On one? Yeah, Rev.
Yeah, because we drank this then, on a video, I believe.
And then On and On two is the Half Acre Barley Wine.
Okay.
So.
Nice. And we're going to talk about like our favorite beers of the year. We did a previous episode on June 13th.
Yeah.
And On and On one made it on that list.
I thought it was fantastic.
I don't even remember it now. I remember it being good.
It was, a rye stout?
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, these boys, their affection for rye knows no boundaries.
Okay.
And then, you know, just the way this thing pours, the way it feels, the way it tastes. I don't know, man. I'm a huge fan of On and On Part 1.
Okay. Well, we got to get into it because looking back on the year, I couldn't tell you what On and On tasted like now. So that it made it on our list then is kind of mind-blowing. Because I can tell you some of the other ones, what that tasted like on the list. But I think maybe it's because I had On and On once, and a lot of these other ones I had multiple times.
Yeah.
And so now we're going back to it. What was the release on this? It was filled almost a year ago, January 7th, day after the insurrection.
4 hours on the Capitol. I watched this shit one night. I'm like, this is they were gonna just kind of hang out in the Capitol until what the vote was reversed. That was the plan.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wild as hell, man.
Rev wasn't messing around. They're like, we saw this fall. We got cans of beer. Let's go. Okay, it's all coming back to me. It's rushing the joy of On and On.
That's nice, man. You talk about, when people talk about spice in rye, I don't know if I'd necessarily pick that up. Sure, it's like, is it a little white peppery? Maybe. But I just get like a fuller, like, viscosity on it, you know, okay. Kind of full and bouncy. I'm trying to find another word. It's very lively on your palate.
Mm-hmm. And this On and On 2 is the same beer? So this is...
No.
On and On 1 was Imperial Rye Porter Aged in Bourbon Barrels.
Yeah.
On and On 2 is Bourbon Barrel Aged Rye Wine. About the same alcohol. One was 14%. 2 is going to be 13.7. Why is there mushrooms on it? Like, there's no mushrooms in the beer.
You know, I was on the streets and saw the Half Acre branded distro truck. It's probably Windy City. Mm-hmm. And the Half Acre's logo takes up the whole truck. It's an owl with the tentacles of like a squid for the body. Owl head with a squid body.
Okay.
Or an octopus body. And I'm just like, what the fuck's going on here? I never thought about that, you know? Oh, even their logo. It's the look on the logo on the can. It's the same
shit.
Yeah,
I guess I never.
You know, they're just.
It's sort of like a Kraken-esque, like, mythical creature.
Yeah, we didn't even know when we did the Beer Pass at Half Acre, and they talked about the name Half Acre and how it refers to the Devil's Half Acre, which is like a location in Pennsylvania where the guys are from. I think Gabe's from there. Mm-hmm. But all the way up to that interview, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, I didn't even know what Half Acre meant. You know, and it's
like, just a half acre. I thought someone grew up.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's other meanings for it, but yeah. Some of it has to do with from where they're from. I didn't even know that. They don't explain much about that stuff. They just have this bizarre artwork, you know. Mm-hmm.
Then Reb's rocking the black can. It's kind of their thing for these 16 ounces. All right, I'm going in.
Okay.
To two.
Okay.
We supposed to like compare them, or they're different beers? So I'm a little confused on the series, like why it happened, why they're different. What's the point?
We're looking for answers. Part one and part two.
Yeah.
I think it's just something fun to do with people you like. You know.
Okay.
And you know, there was rumors of at Half Acre that they wouldn't even come out with this barley wine.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The mayor said that.
The mayor said that.
But the president said.
The president was like, oh, we're tasting it.
The mayor's full of shit. as most mayors are.
He's like, listen to El Presidente, old chap.
You gotta go, president, mayor, worthless. Jumping into On and On 2, it's not as good. It's like thin. It's good, but it doesn't delight.
On paper, when you think about, these are two of our favorite crews, obviously. And then, you know, the Lords of the Barley Wine, reigning Lords of the Barley Wine Revolution, partners with Half Acre. You're like, what could go wrong here?
Well, because, you know, Half Acre did the barley wine, and Rev didn't do the barley wine.
It's very weird. It's very weird how this is all playing out.
They did the rye barley wine.
Again. Yeah. Does Half Acre have a barley wine in the catalog at all? I think of them. I think about adjunct stouts. I think about glorious IPA expressions. I don't necessarily even know another barley wine from them.
Man, they gotta have one. Where's Raj? Raj has like a little notebook of all the like ingredients and stuff. You were asked him, I think, were you there when we asked him a question about something? Or I was there. I was like, oh, this one wasn't as good as this one. He pulled out like a little notebook. No. And he's like, yeah, it looks about the same. We used a little more like malt or this. We used this hop in there. It's crazy.
They don't tweak. We talk about Three Floyds and how they tweak. You have Behemoth, their barley wine. It's going to be different every year on purpose. Same thing for Dark Lord. Not as much, but definitely for Behemoth. But they tweak recipes every year. And we had the first Daisy Cutter out of Balmoral. You and I looked at each other and we were like, is this Daisy Cutter? Like,
right.
What'd they do to it? You know. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
Just, yeah, different. All right, so Nick's going into the part two. I do like this little mushroom glass. Yeah. The, what, like 10-ounce pour glass? What do you think there?
American barley wine has a ton of bitter hops going. Mm-hmm. It's not quite medicinal, but it's just very bitter. But is it complementing the caramels and the booze of the barley wine? Is it a compliment to that? I don't know.
Is it supposed to be like one is like the morning and two is at night? Like he's all passed out. This is like getting up and going with the coffee cups. And then two is like passed out. In the grass.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what the... I'd like to hear more about this.
It's going to be a story.
It's open to interpretation.
But I don't think two is making it on our best beer list.
No, I think one is far and away the better one. It's not like... You know, it was funny. When If I'm a Bird, You're a Bird, the Goose Phase 3 thing. Mm. You know, I actually thought the Phase 3 one would be better. Mm. And I don't think it was. I think the Goose one with the strawberry, I thought, might have been the better one.
It seems like the first one is always the better one.
Yeah. I mean, and it's cool that these powerhouse crews come together, but, you know, maybe they're just used to working, and they're not used to working as a team. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a similar thing with that, if I remember, you're a bird.
Okay.
Where the one and the two... We're not like a it wasn't a double feature. There was like clearly one was better than the other.
Yeah, okay. So. And it's kind of, yeah, the same way. I'm sure we'll finish off one, two we got two cans of. But we'll slowly make our way through that. Cool. So then the list. We're talking about On. On, yeah, June 13th, that made our list of top beers we had in the first half of the year.
Yes.
And we decided to break this up because we would not remember.
As a fact.
And so I went back and listened to the episode. So here's what we said in June. It was Freedom of Press, the flavors. We weren't singling out one flavor. We said the like variety pack. This is hitting all the notes. This is perfect.
I think that's one of my favorite things all year long is that series. I think it's great.
Yeah. And on part one. And then in the collaboration, we said Labise. Mm. We thought it was
our Old Irving and Alarmist.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a great collaboration with the two hazy gold medal winners. And we were feeling it at the time. You know, they made it just for that. They haven't made it again, so I haven't tried it. But it was working then.
The one and done nature of it is, I don't know if that adds to it. Like, we had it, and even if we had it again, it wouldn't be the same as when we had it the first time.
Right.
And then they also didn't make it again, so we can't go back to it. Yeah. But, like, to your point, when we had it, we were like, man, these other things that should have been good that weren't good, like, what is it, a double Beezer, or even take it a little further, double Two Hearted. Yeah. Like, just the combination of things that should be better than the first thing. Usually ain't, but this was.
Yeah, or
this
even was. All the Le Juice variants, the like Mosaic, the coffee juice, all those things. Oh, this was the best play for both of them.
Fair, yeah.
And to that point, I have not had a Beezer or a Le Juice probably since midway of the year, I think. It's kind of funny, the second half of the year lend itself to more lagers and then barrel-aged beers, like hazy beers. Not that I don't like them. They just sort of like went to the background for me.
It's the one style where I don't really look for a second pour of that style. I'll have another stout, you know, and I'll have another lager. But if I have a hazy, I'm not really looking for another hazy. I'm like, well, I'd rather just get a cocktail. Or another beer. Yeah. But
and if I go to Alarmist to pick up beer, I'm usually getting something like the Midwest Royalty or some. I think they got the cold IPA now. And if I get the juice or something, it's going to someone else's house where I can be like, here, I'll have one of these. You can have, we can share these. But I don't necessarily need four hazy beers of one thing hanging around right now.
That's fair.
That's personally me, though. Yeah. And then we had Basement Party on there. And that was a sleeper hit. I found that just hanging out at Temperance, doing the
parking lot pimping.
Parking lot party. I think that they're definitely going to keep that going, right?
I mean, they got a ton of space. They got enough space to have a concert series out in their parking lot.
Right, and with Omicron, they're like, oh, we probably have to keep this going. You just bring your grill, tailgate it. Go to town.
That's the best thing. You know, and I'm surprised that we don't get more. Do we ever get like 6 feet at parties? Like no one ever did the 6 feet at parties thing.
No, it was like just waiting in line for stuff.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, 6 feet, you gotta stand in line. Yeah. But walking through the rest of the store. Yeah. All right. Excuse me.
Yeah. That was good.
And then listening back to that episode, I was like, shit, I need some Basement Party. I think during this Christmas New Year's break, I might go up to Temperance.
You know, I really like that beer.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say anything you haven't said about it already. Yeah. I was just thoroughly surprised. I drank it and I was like, man, bring it on. Let's drink all of them. Yeah, it was good.
And then we had Conrad Sapp's, their Prohibition Lager.
Yeah.
There was something about that that's just hit all the fields.
It was made at Metro. It was original recipe. You know, a lot of
it wasn't the original.
It wasn't the original recipe.
It was what Doug took from the tasting notes.
Got it.
The recipe was gone, but they, from what people had said it tasted like or what they found, this is what he thought it was.
That's what it was. And, you know, Chicago's history with beer, man, it's like, shit. There were two big waves, right? Like the original wave that got killed by the Great Chicago Fire, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, Prohibition happened, and that killed a lot of stuff. And then you got this current wave, you know? So it's like being able to have a beer that we remember in this era of the classic. This is classic Chicago period for beer.
Right.
And being able to like kind of celebrate where all these other periods that happened is actually pretty cool, because they were so far south. They were near McCormick Place. They were so far south that they missed the Chicago Fire. So they were one of the biggest breweries in the city and in the Midwest at the time. So, right. You know, reliving that and then actually having a good beer by the guys at Metro who know their way around lagers.
And in the bottle, which is a good chance it likely was in a bottle, but it probably mainly drank it on tap or like got it in like a bucket kind of to go sort of thing. Yeah. Or whatever was like the crawler of the time. So we like that. And then our non-beer standout was the Run the Jewels lemonade seltzer.
Salamoth?
Yeah.
Killamarkin.
Or City Water.
Oh, sorry. City Water. Yeah.
So that stood out. So that's a recap of the first half of the year. And now we go into the second half of the year. And these are in no order. So
no.
At all.
We're not organized enough to give you like a definitive 20-1. This is just a best of.
Right. And what maybe first jumped into our mind.
Yeah.
And at the top of this one is the Blanton's Goose Island.
Yeah. We talked a lot of shit about how other breweries use Blanton's barrels and how Goose leaned into their relationship for the packaging and had this fucking absurd visual for theirs. Even though everybody else used it, Goose kind of hyped theirs up.
Yeah.
But then also, it was aged 2 years in Blanton's barrels. And, you know, that kind of works. That kind of works.
It was good. I haven't had it since we had it for the tasting. When we drank them all. So it was kind of hard to, if I had it now, would I be like, fuck yeah, give me more of that. But at the time, it stood out.
Yeah. And I always say about any BCS, like, this is how I feel about it in the context of having it next to the OG, right? Because, like, to your point, without the OG, how special is it? Like, when we went to that party, the fall party, right, where we got drunk and we thought we were getting double barrel.
Giant lamb shank?
Yeah.
That was so or the Kobe beef. No, it was a Kobe beef shank.
Yeah. You know, the Weller one.
That's the best thing I ate this year.
It was really good. Yeah, we thought they were bullshit. They gave us all these little micro plates, and we're like, fuck this place. And then they come out with this gigantic Fred Flintstone fucking Wagyu rib thing. And it was kind of mind-blowing. Oh, but to have the Weller 12, the Weller one next to the OG is when you really understood what they were doing with Weller. So I say with the Goose shit, don't ever have it on its own. Always have it next to the OG to really understand what the fuck's going on.
Okay, good point. Absolutely. Blanton's. And then this one was yours, and I didn't have this beer. Crushing Mass. From Three Flights.
Yeah, Willet Barrels and Dark Matter Coffee from Goose. I'm sorry, from Three Flights. You know, I don't know if Revolution stopped Goose from making coffee beers or, you know, but the original feeling I got from the Black Cat Espresso Bourbon County Stout, that feeling I feel like I got from this other beer from Three Flights, you know, where like, Cafe Deet is kind of the benchmark for coffee stouts around here.
Supermassive.
Supermassive Cafe Deet is the benchmark for coffee
beers.
I bet
it got too expensive for Goose because coffee prices went up and they have to make so much in Bourbon County.
You bring up a good point because like whether it's Big Hugs or Cafe Deet, I mean, more so Big Hugs, like, you know, we talk about coffee and beer, but it's not really to have a coffee flavor necessarily. It's just to lift the existing stout flavors. Mm-hmm. Cafe Deet does that, but it also kind of tastes like coffee. Mm-hmm. But this thing from Floyd's, I thought, was just like no breaks, all gas, fucking. Here's a big-ass stout with gigantic coffee in it.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, this is great.
So did it remind you of, what was the Surly Coffee Bender?
Coffee Bender, yeah, which is a brown ale.
Which, that is like coffee. That's basically cold coffee, or like coffee you put ice cubes in and then drink later.
It's unequivocal. You do not question what this is when you have a sip. You're like, yeah. Yo, this is for sure a coffee stout.
I haven't had that beer. Yeah.
When I was, when the one time I went to Darkness Day, Omar, the guy that's his joint, Darkness Surly. Oh, he's riding around on a forklift and he's dropping kegs of that beer. And okay. I'm like, he could have done whatever the IPA was, or, you know, he could have done some.
Well, it was like 5 a.m. So you wake up with your coffee.
I was like, man, I'm never going to forget this. That was cool.
And then on the list, Nick, are we really doing this? There's 2 3 Floyds beer on here. Marshmallow Hangi. This year, 2021 Marshmallow Hangi, right?
Yeah, I was telling Brad in the pre-show, I'm like, do we like this beer because we thought it was going to suck? Or is it a good beer?
Are we putting 3 2 Shit. Indiana breweries on Chicago Beer Fest?
One of these should be honorable mention. I would say
Marshmallow Hangi, maybe?
Yeah, I think Marshmallow Hangi is your honorable mention. Yeah. Because it was good. But
it's always good.
It's always good.
Yeah.
I like that fucking beer, man.
It was good. I was surprised how good it was.
Yeah. I haven't even had this year's OG Dark Lord, but that fucking Hangi was spot on. I mean, but then also, they don't tell you what kind of vanilla they use. They don't tell you what barrel they're using. So how are we going to put this on the best of list?
How you have to come up with a... Okay, we might move that. Okay. And then we had a Phobab, which was Nitro Benthic.
Yeah.
This was the first beer you had, and I believe the second beer I had. It stood out in the Phobab, like, I don't know, the mess that we had, right?
There was no description on a lot of these beers. You knew what category they were in. You didn't know what was in them. That was kind of frustrating, especially because there was no booklet this year. So
there was like an app you could look at you could pull it up on your phone.
And it'd give you some deets?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this one stood out. Other people said it stood out. And it was good. And we liked Benthic in general. We didn't even dive in. We never got any this year.
No, we should drink some though.
Yes, it was like 500 variants of it.
So. They rolled it out in a whole enchilada box. They rolled it out in, and then you go back, and then every week there a different variant's coming out. Like, so weird. A different variant from that box. It was kind of weird. We sold out. Oh no, we got some more. Just buy this one variant.
Okay.
Kind of weird.
But yeah, Nitro Benthic, I don't think anyone can get that. I don't even think it was on tap at the brew pub or anything like that.
Yeah, so. Benthic is a stout with coconut and coffee. That's Benthic.
So if we move Marshmallow Hangi to like an honorable mention.
I think so.
What stands out is that there's things we drank this year that were our favorite things, and then there's also things that came out this year that were the best things. Like something like Della, which won the award for Kolsch, right?
Yeah, I think it was JPF.
That was it's a great beer.
Even when you have it next to other lagers, Kolsch is a hybrid. It's not really a lager. But when you have it next to other light styles at Old Irving, it kind of stands out.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a... It's a tough one. Like we did. Oh, I forgot one on this list. We didn't mention the Ravinia Rum Coquita.
It's modeled after that drink, right?
It's with a Puerto Rican Sunrise Yriza. Yriza?
I have to consult the Chicago Beer Pass. IG to answer this question properly, Brad.
I skipped this and getting confused on what we're adding, drinking.
What the fuck, Brad? Cut the shit.
I even have a list.
Cut the shit.
So yeah, this Ravinia Rum Barrel Age beer we had when we were recording the podcast there as they were opening the Chicago location over at the old Finch location. Or not the old Ale Syndicate location.
Yeah. Sunrisa. Y Risa.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but not Y. It's probably like Yi or Yeah. I don't know. But it's a Coquita.
Barrel-aged Coquito Imperial Cream Ale. And that was the thing that stood out about it. It was like, it was a barrel aged cream ale. Instead of trying to make kind of fit those flavors into a stout, they had a imperial cream ale base, mm-hmm. and that's what made it interesting. So it kind of felt like a boozy imperial orchada a little bit,
yeah.
Yeah, when we had it that day, I was like, oh shit, this is what you guys are gonna be doing, right? Because up to that point, well, we had the Grunsvell Lager, and then what was your favorite? You know, there was the Rooster, which was the Saison. I actually liked the Saison.
And then the Pils.
Yeah, and then the Pils. You know, those beers were kind of like Steep Ravine, their IPA, just a solid 6.7 IPA. Those were the beers we knew Ravinia for. And then they come to the city in Logan Square.
This dude from Five Rabbit.
Yeah, former brewer from Five Rabbit comes in, puts his spin on what they're doing, and then here we go with this fucking Imperial Cream Ale. And I'm just like, I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, yo, this shit is good. Now, that day, I took it back and shared it with the wife, and I'm like, and we're like, God damn, Ravinia's bringing this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ravinia, I see you.
I think I have the bottle somewhere around here.
Yeah, it was really good.
Should dive into that.
If we're talking out but mentions, man, shout out to Diversity Pale Ale. I thought that was great. Yeah, 4% fucking pale ale. Juicy pale.
Okay, so to go over our five for this year, Blanton's, Crushing Mass, Ravinia, Nitro Benthic. We had Marshmallow Hanji on there, which it stood out to us. That's why it's there. And then, of course, we did Run the Jewels, the lemonade. And I gotta throw the Luz Apple Crisp Seltzer on here as the like best fucking seltzer I had in the second half of the year. The
number one beer at FOBAP for Loose Keys here. It was good. I mean, there's no way around it.
I took it over. We did like an early Christmas with family. I took some cans over. Everyone loved it. It is. If you just open that up for your first drink of the day, it's too sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very sweet. Like, you could almost put ice cubes in it and kind of water it down. But as you're drinking, we opened a bunch of Deep Woods stuff, and then you go to this, you're like, this fucking thing is nice. Like, it's sweet. It tastes like apple juice. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Is it better than lemonade? Ooh, that's tough. That lemonade's good, though.
I can't argue with these. I will say this, man, that it is what they say it is on the can, you know, and it's not because sometimes, you know, you drink something and you're like, oh, this reminds me of that, but it doesn't really feel like that thing.
Yeah.
This is what it says it is. And I think that
it tastes closer to a cider than a seltzer. So that's where it gets a little confusing, but it's just tasty. I don't know. I feel like our list is, are these tasty?
Yeah, is it good? Yeah. It doesn't make you feel good. Will you drink another one?
Mm-hmm. And I picked up like 2 6-packs of this
one. I mean, because it works, you know?
And there's not a lot of beers that I picked up again in the second half of the year. I think it was like Flywheel and like more just session beers in the second half of the year. I wasn't like, you know what? I need another box of Rye Way to Heaven. Like, it's good, but I don't need more of it.
That's true. Yeah, there's something to be said about drinkability, almost as much as flavors, right? Yeah.
So I feel like that's a pretty good list for the year. So run it down real quick. Overall, the whole year, Freedom of Press, the flavors, On and On Part One, LaBise, Basement Party from Temperance, Conrad Sepps from Metropolitan, Blanton's Bourbon County Stout from Goose Island, Crushing Mass from Three Floyds, the Ravinia Rum Coquita, Nitro Benthic, Marshmallow Hanji from Three Floyds, and then our two best seltzers for the year were Run the Jewels Lemonade and Lull's Apple Crisp.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Mars Gay IPA. They packed a whopping 74 dicks on the can.
That's right. That's
right. Of the IPA. You know, I was a big fan of Breakfast at Tiffany's from Microphone. That's, okay. I think, for me, I think, pound for pound, I think that's the best beer they make, honestly.
Damn.
It's a blueberry Berliner Weiss with maple syrup in it. And it's everything. You taste everything all at once. I think it's really good.
And then I'd give a shout out to, what's the spot? the religious.
Oh yeah, fucking Burning Bush.
Burning Bush, like I finally made it to this year. It's good. They make like really good kettle sours, like intro sours that you're gonna enjoy. Like they're just nice.
So. Yeah, the Bulldog Fruit Punch goes. I remember that. Oh, I think yeah. You remember you brought that. That was good. Yeah. Oh, the Midwest Coast English Sporting Beer from Midwest Coast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that too. I enjoyed a lot of stuff this year.
I think we ran a pretty good gamut of like fruit beers, hazies, like lagers, stouts, seltzers. That's pretty good. Like
it kind of speaks to It speaks to the things we like. Yeah. It's definitely our list, right? Like it's not, you know, like this is shit that we actually got genuinely excited about when we opened it.
Right, and we saw and we picked up because we're like, that sounded good.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe Dovetail made an amazing beer this year that was different.
Yeah, and then there's there's other lists from out of towners that are gonna go that route. You know, and talk about some of those beers. But, you know, this is the shit we drank that we really dug.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So then, anything been happening this week? You made it to, what, Adam Street?
Adam Street Brewery, man, in the loop.
Yeah. 312. You hit them all.
You know?
You did Rock Bottom.
Yeah.
You did Crushing Giants.
I think I did the Holy Trinity of...
Nick will never go downtown again.
Dude, I feel like I was going out of town. I'm like, I'm on a fucking road trip. And I'm like, you know, I keep hearing that it's Frank Sinatra song, you know, Stage Street, that great street.
Okay.
And I'm just like, no, man, there's a bunch of bullshit shops and homeless motherfuckers and, you know, like, what's so great? What's so great about Stage Street? That's what I kept thinking. You know, when I went to DePaul, the computer classes were downtown.
Okay.
And then the main classes were in Lincoln Park. So I was down there. I've always been down there. And I've always been like, I do not like State Street. This, you know, only thing that don't suck on State Street is the Wit Hotel.
Okay.
That's a proper fucking party scene right there. Okay. Oh, Chicago and the Chicago Theater.
Cindy's is nice.
Where's Cindy's?
That's the athletic.
Club. Well, that's Michigan. You are right. It's good, but that's also Michigan.
Oh,
that's
Michigan State Street. Oh yeah, sorry. I don't even know what's on State Street.
See, and that's the problem with downtown. So. Because, you know, if you're an out-of-towner, you know, and proximity-wise, you know, it's Adams Street. These are your closest breweries. And it's just like, well, man, I don't know how other cities are. But at our city, like, there's a very strange dynamic with the breweries that are in the Central Business District that I don't know if I'm into it.
Okay.
You know, so. But, I mean, anyway, man, I go to Berghoff. And it's Adams Street Brewery since 2018. You know, it's still Berghoff the restaurant, but it's, you know, two entrances, exact same location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was ever explained. Why is it Adams Street and not Berghoff Brewing anymore? Like, it was Berghoff. Brian Shimko was a brewer at Berghoff before he went to Blue Island.
Yeah.
What happened? What?
The one and only Randy Mosier was on this project when it was a Berghoff Brewing project. So this was, I would say, circa 2016. Randy Mosier was on three projects. He was on Forbidden Root, Fire Rabbit, and Berghoff.
Okay.
So Berghoff was, they hadn't put the brewery in the restaurant yet. Berghoff had the brand with same logo as the restaurant, but they were brewing up in Wisconsin. Okay. And they had a whole lineup of beers. Hmm. That was 2016. And like 2-3 years later, they just said, hey, we're installing a brewery and we're just going to be Adams Street Brewery.
Okay. But it's technically Berghoff, probably because...
Oh, the Berghoff family owns it for sure.
But I would think the Berghoff name, I think they were hoping to maybe excite people or like just rebrand it to be like, this. We're not this old brewery anymore. Right?
I think that was it. They didn't want to... I mean, there's a classic vibe when you go to this joint. Mm-hmm. It's quintessential. We talked about Smoke-Filled Room Chicago last week. It feels like that. And, you know, big, gorgeous, like, wood interior, high ceilings, you know, art and ornamentation everywhere. Just a very cool classic building.
I've only been there once or twice. Going downstairs is sort of surreal. Like, it's like you sort of time travel.
Shit, I didn't go downstairs, man. I gotta go downstairs now, man.
It's kind of weird, right?
So if you're walking off State Street, you enter the brewery, or if you keep going, the next door is the Berghoff restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the entrance where you go downstairs.
And I've done the restaurant, and it's like, it's a little weird. Like, you feel like you, I went there, I don't know, over a decade ago, and it felt like I didn't belong there. Like, it felt like old school Chicago, like old people ate there. Sort of like going to like one of the
stock traders and politicians.
Or like going to one of the steakhouses where you're like, where like Side Door was like the young people. That's were true. Like the, it wasn't more.
Lowry's.
Yeah. Where it's like, I shouldn't, I'm not supposed to eat at Lowry's. Who are, what? Everyone's in a suit and I'm over here in like a,
just being
a
me.
Button up flannel and a hat. What the fuck?
No, for sure. So I think that's part of why they went away from the Berghoff thing.
Yeah.
Even though they're this exact same crew.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what did I have there, man? I had the West Coast IPA. You know what was the best thing there was the Hefeweizen.
Okay.
I thought just big, crazy banana flavors, just delicious.
Nice.
Everything about it was great. So it's the color scheme's the same, but the logo's a little different for Adam Street stuff. And I didn't really care for the West Coast IPA. So then I just dipped right into like, well, what cocktails, signature cocktails they got. So I had a Brandy Alexander.
Okay. Don't fuck around. You're like, all
right. I'm like, shit, I'm already here at this old.
It's like in the holidays.
So I don't know what that is involved in that, but it's basically like a chocolate martini.
Okay.
But, you know, so I had that. And I took a bunch of pictures of the joint, so.
All right. So look for those on IG.
Yeah, for sure. Fun fact. Local Chicago liquor license number one. They have framed on the wall there because that was the first liquor license given out after Prohibition was to Berghoff.
Nice.
And then also back in the 70s, like 77, Julian Van Winkle made a house whiskey for them. So it was basically Pappy Van Winkle 10-year that they made with the Berghoff logo on it, and it was the house whiskey. So that's honestly why I was kind of, going because I'm like, listen, are you guys selling anything that's not on this fucking menu?
Do they have it?
Trying to get to the bottom of it, but I was clearly talking to the wrong people because I didn't get it.
Okay.
But yeah,
you were dressed wrong. You didn't have your suit on.
That's the thing, you know. I didn't have my, you know, because you know you don't light the cigar.
You need a monocle. You need monocle, cigar.
And a hat, you know, maybe a nice little hat. You know,
you gotta tip it.
Come in looking like fucking Doc Holliday. You know, I didn't do any of that, so I didn't get it.
This guy's now. Give him the chocolate martini.
Give him another chocolate martini, and that's the end of it. God damn it.
He won't remember being here. Get him out. Nice. Cool. Well, that's a fun stop. And now you've done them all. I didn't make it anywhere this weekend. We drank a bunch of Deep Woods stuff at family.
Right on.
So that was nice to dive into some of those. I don't remember which ones we had, but one stood out more than the other.
Maple Jacket.
No, I didn't bring that.
Death by Raspberries. Death by Plums.
Strawberry Jacket was nice.
Strawberry Jacket's delicious.
Strawberry Jacket was tasting real good. I think Strawberry Jacket stood out a little. And I brought it because it looks like Christmas.
And it is a... it is a master's class in how to fucking have strawberry in a beer.
And I think we
it really is.
We had last year Ryeway to Heaven, which was nice.
This is a proper beer. Ryeway is the best one.
Ryeway, strawberry. I don't remember the other two. Probably had a coffee one. I don't know. But yeah, dive into some of those.
That's why we take the picks, because it's without the picks. So we could never know what's going on.
Cool. All right. Anything else happening? Well, what? There was a bunch of breweries that had COVID sort of outbreak scares, and now Chicago is going full on vax. You want to drink somewhere inside? That's it. You got to show your card. not starting January, I think 3rd, because Lightfoot wants to do problems after they're already happening.
The shortest gay mayor in the history of Chicago. Yeah.
Shortest term or just shortest?
No, she's literally physically the shortest.
Was there like a real tall gay mayor?
There was a tall, no, she's the first gay.
I think you're right.
And then also the shortest mayor. Also the shortest mayor ever in Chicago. Yeah.
But she likes to address the problems after they're already a problem. So, you know, we're going to start this January 3rd. You want to drink inside or eat inside, you got to show your vax card.
Yeah. So, you know, get out there the next week and a half and, you know, enjoy America while it's still the land of the free, you know. Home of the brave.
I've had to show a card going to places, and I don't. Like what we went to?
I'm gonna go back to
Avondale Bowl.
Okay, that's a vax only.
Yeah,
because Sleeping Village is their sister, and they do vax only.
Yeah, and when we were going in there, some people were like upset because they didn't have a vax, and they're like, "Oh, what's happening? This is what it's gonna be like." And we went in there, and they looked at it, and it was the most like they're just like, "Okay, it reminds me of anyone who I didn't have a fake ID, but people who had a fake ID,
like as a youngin.
Yeah, as a youngin, you go into a bar before they would like scan them and like check like the back of the barcode or like check all that shit, because now it's real easy to know if they're fake.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that. They're just like, okay, show me your ID to make sure the name is like. Here's a stupid picture of this. You're paying someone to sit here. He was playing Switch when no one else was in there. It's like, you're literally paying someone at least probably $20 an hour to check vax cards. Really? That seems like a waste of money.
Yeah, and it probably just takes a $20 bill at the door. Just like when we were kids, you know, trying to get into nightclubs. I was trying to get into Club Dread, which was next door to Haymarket, and I was like, you know, 16, and this, you need to be 21. You give them $20, and you're 21 now. There you go.
Like, I don't know, like what's a dive? Like, I don't know a lot of the dive bars over there. It's like Kedzie Inn down there. I don't know how like. You're telling me they're gonna pay someone like Simon's. When I went into Simon's.
A cash only joint.
I had come from Bagayo, which was like fax card, ID, you gotta wear your mask when you're in Simon's. Is like, I don't know, show me your ID, and like, no mask. This dude at Simon's is going to be like, oh, let me see your fax card. No way.
It's almost like stopping people from drinking at the beach, honestly.
Right.
It's very similar to that.
And then most of the police aren't. Well, the Chicago PD, they're not like. Weren't they going to, like, fire a bunch of people?
They were all going to quit if you had to get the vax.
So what, are they going to be the people coming in and be like, hey, are you checking these cards?
Right.
No. It's going to be pretty funny. I don't care either way. I think it adds a little more hassle. And, like, what I said on the last episode, I'm not paying $9 to drink a flywheel at a bar. So I will just go out less because it's January and December, just January and February, and it's cold as shit in Chicago. So, all right.
I think with the exception of some places, it'll be business as usual because money talks, you know. I mean, they might show, I think, it'll be vax or negative COVID test. And I'll be honest with you, like, okay, these are all private businesses, right? And if you want to have a vax-only policy, you know, do what you want, you know. I'm totally in agreement with that, right? Do what you want. But the true measure of having a safe gathering would be a negative vax test, because you could have a bunch of fuckers with vax cards in a room, and they got vaxxed 10 fucking months ago, and these motherfuckers are all giving each other the fucking COVID.
Right, that's the problem with the Omicron.
So
it's a lot of vax people that are have it. They may not be spreading it, but they have it.
Like, so I hope this leads to that. Where it's like, so, you know, you go to FOBAB, it's like, hey, show us your vax card, show us your asshole, or show us this negative test. You know, I hope there's more emphasis on negative tests if there's any merit to this.
But really, we need cheaper negative tests. We need cheaper testing so everyone can just have, like, a spit test at home.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick's coming over to do the podcast. All right, yeah, we did the spit test. We're good. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
It costs $1 or $5 at the most.
This country's rich, man. This country could do this. They just don't want to. They just want to force.
But that would be the best way to do it, right? Like if everyone could just test before going, like, all right, I'm going out to the bars. I'm going out to dinner. Spit, test. All right, cool. I'm good.
Yeah. We'll see. But this is where we are. So.
So that's coming up January 3rd.
Yeah, a lot of folks are jumping the gun too. They're just like, well, now. Let's do it now.
Right. I think I saw Off Color decide to do it now. A place like Beer Miscuous has always been. Beguile. Most of the breweries, or like half of the breweries, have been. It doesn't seem to have hurt most of the businesses. People are just like, okay, here's the picture. I don't.
I wonder how many, like you said, I think this is a thing that it's good that they're doing this, the city. I wonder how it actually plays out in action. You know, I wonder
that's how. I think that's my thought.
Like, I don't think it'll be much change in action. I don't think.
Right. Like, I just don't know how a small place is going to bother doing it. I think it's going to be like, hey, you need this.
It'll be on the door. It'll be on every door.
But if it's checking, maybe not. But whatever, most people, if you're going out, probably have it. And whatever. And are we still wearing the mask? We have to show the card. Yeah. Crazy times.
Yeah.
So 2022 looks a lot like 2021.
You know, yeah. We're going to a full, we are on a fast track to 24 months of this shit.
Right. So I will be drinking in the parking lot at Temperance with some Basement Party.
I hear you.
That sounds like the way to go.
Yeah. Hear, hear. I was trying to see if we missed anything on the happenings front.
I almost picked up some Big Hugs since we're drinking this big half acre stuff. But I didn't. I don't know why. I was like, I saw it, and then I thought to myself, it will be here later. And I just didn't. I didn't get it. I want to try it, but I passed it when I saw it. Have you tried it yet?
No. Big Hugs?
No. Yeah.
No. I have not tried Big Hugs. We had the Big Hugs versus Dark Lord argument, and I was like, I was on the fence about which one was better.
Oh, right.
And then I'm like, well, clearly it's fucking. I had a Dark Lord, and I'm like, clearly it's Big Hugs. Clearly. It's not even close.
Is that a versus? We haven't done a versus in a long time.
Yeah, it's Big Hugs. Big Hugs.
You know already?
I'm just. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's like, it's just kind of sneaky good, you know? It's the coffee stout that happens to have coffee in it. I don't know if it's coffee forward necessarily.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so, and then I think these are Big Hugs cups you're sipping out of.
Yeah.
It's the big cat.
Big sleepy cat. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. And I think the last episode of this year that we're going to record. So maybe our next episode is predictions for what 2022 looks like. I forget what year it is all the time.
Yeah, right. We were looking at the IG feed and we noticed that a lot of shit that we did in the first half of the year seemed like it was 2 years ago. But that's a testament to the fact that we've been getting after it.
Honey jacket.
You know, the bear. Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, the reels came into play this year. Those were fun.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while.
You know?
We got to get back to it.
But yeah, so like since this year was so full and so fast paced, and it was so long because we did so much shit, it stretched out. I just kind of hope that we do it, run it back, do it again next year.
You're good? All right, let's go again. All right. Cool. Well, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And yeah, everyone have a great Christmas and Happy New Year.
Right on.
Take care.
Cheers.